I want to take you on a short journey. So if you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive what your Spirit is speaking to me. Amen. Colossians. The book of Colossians. And now we could change the word Coloss and we could put the word Chicopee or Massachusetts. Verse 2, it says, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ in Massachusetts. How many have still on a search for Colossians? You get there?
What chapter?
Chapter 1. There's not too many chapters, so it's not a very, very long letter. Actually, it's only four chapters. But, you know, God doesn't pull punches. He usually gets across to what he wants us to see, and then he takes us a little higher to give us insight as to what he's really trying to do with us. And I want to start at verse 9. You can look at verse 2 if you want, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ. Notice it's in Christ, the corporate body. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 9 in the Amplified, for this reason we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom, that is, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Now that's a mouthful. But it really is for the mature. Because the mature are not seeking me, myself, and I satisfaction. Or Christian witchcraft. How many know what Christian witchcraft is? You treat God like a Santa Claus. And you keep bouncing on him and making sure that you tell him how you have behaved and you have been a good girl or a good boy and you're going to continue to serve him as long as you get your way and whatever you want. And you'll use scripture to prove it. It says if two of you asking anything in our Father, he will give it to you. Well, that's Santa Claus for you. As long as you forgive, you're going to be okay. So you do it ritualistically, and I don't believe there's any Christian that doesn't start there. You understand where I'm coming from? We all come to the Lord with a selfish motive. What can he get that I can need, that I want, that I have a need of, and I'm going to pray? And even the scripture where the woman is, you know, knocking on the judge's door, come on, give me what I want. And we were taught this.
Amen.
So unlearning that is a little bit difficult, especially when we start maturing. And as the goal of the Lord is to mature us, which we spoke of earlier, The mature son looks for the purpose of the father. The mature sons and daughters look for the purpose of the father because they love. When you're in love with someone, hear me now, when you're in love with someone, you look to do in order to give them the next level that you can provide in order to assure that he knows or she knows that you love them. Oh, come on, I should have heard an amen on that one. I can't have you all asleep. Amen?
Amen?
How many know we start there? Should we continue to live there?
No.
Our purpose should be like Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. He never did anything to please himself. He was searching for the heart of the Father on a regular basis consistently. But he got kicked in the teeth regularly. Oops. Who were his first adversaries? Who turned against him first? No, not Adam and Eve. Who turned against? Well, yes, in the sense of creation, yes. But when he was in his flesh, as a boy, where?
His parents.
Yeah, mom and dad. Okay? Straighten that kid out. He's not supposed to stay in Jerusalem, that little shrimp. And he submitted. Yes or no? And he was obedient to them for the next 17 years. I mean, you know, whoa. 17 years is a good size test. And then when he started to obey, and they were at a wedding, Mary even kind of over pushes her boundaries and says, I don't care what he said. I'm going ahead and tell the servants, do whatever he tells you. Tell me if that's not overruling. Because he already told her, my time has not yet. Yeah. So who's his beginning of his adversaries? It's those that he's living with. John chapter 7 also verifies that his brothers were sick of him showing off. Because that was their perception. Why am I saying that to you? Because some of you, the war is in your house. And I'm not picking on anybody because it started for me there too. And I didn't like it. Did I get over it? It took a long time for me to stop the me, myself, and I department and to try to go a little bit higher. And I did try, but I had to cry out for grace constantly. Okay. Verse 10, and I'm going to skip the regular. I'm going to go to the Amplified because it goes so deep. That you may walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing and by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintances, and recognition. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made you fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Does that tell you your future? Does that tell you where you're at? Does that tell you that you are now in a servitude to the one who loved you enough to give up his life to pay for you and me? Verse 14, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. Now, if you look at the NIV for that same verse, it says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then you have to look at the footnotes to see redemption through his blood. Talked about his blood on Sunday. The redemption aspect of you and me is paid for in full. We have been redeemed. We're not of the old nature, we are of the new. Anybody listen to Kenneth Copeland last night? No? He was on Daystar. And it was exciting because I haven't listened to him for a while and kind of was hoping that he would talk about the next level, but he was at a conference and he was giving insight about who we are as children of light. And as I was listening to him, he was almost answering some of the questions that I talked about on Sunday about where did Jesus's blood come from and where did the Adamic blood come from. And you know what? The Lord gave me memory of when my wife was on chemotherapy. And I learned that chemotherapy is actually liquid light. Liquid light. When Adam was created, he never knew he was naked. How come? When Eve was removed from his side, she never knew she was naked. How come?
No sin.
Huh?
There was no sin.
There was no sin. There was something else that was going on. They were covered with God's glory. They were radiating just like Jesus, the light of the Father, because they were made in his image. And when they sinned, the lights went out, and oh my God, now we got flesh visible. And I shared with you guys years ago about how God showed me my Angora cat was better dressed than I was.
Amen.
Why? Because you can't see her nakedness. She's covered with this incredible white fur. She was called Snowball. Okay? Her fur was about this long. There was no way you could see any part of her body or her skin. Now you say, wait a minute. You're talking about, well, I could talk about your Sylvester because he's kind of gorgeous too. And you can't see his nakedness. Why? Because he's covered from the inside up. When Jesus was glorified on the mountain, he was glorified from the inside out. What happened to his blood? It turned to liquid
light.
Yes! And so Adam's blood was not red, it was liquid
light.
And when he pulled the plug and chose to follow the adversary, what happened to his light? It went out. So where did his blood come from? The Father of light. Where did Jesus come? To make us into children of light. So we are on a progressive work to be restored into light. Now I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Tomorrow morning, you wake up. Jesus has ignited his Holy Spirit during the night, and you wake up and you look in the mirror and you are now radiating from the top of your head to the very bottoms of your feet, and you don't even have a knowledge that you can see your pajamas.
Praise the Lord.
You are radiating all kinds of light. And you step out into the kitchen, and some of your family members look at you and say, "What happened to you?" And you tell them, "Well, I was transformed during the night because the Holy Ghost came and gave me a little bit of an inch of upgrade in my blood. I've been taking of the flesh of the Lamb, and I've been drinking his blood, and now it's exploded into reality. And I'm a living example of the future, because now I know that the kingdom of darkness is going to be overwhelmed by me because of the kingdom of light within me." But now you wonder why you're going through a test. Are you ready to be ignited? And when the lights go on, are you expecting that the family members are going to say, "Well, why didn't you tell us about Jesus?" Well, maybe they didn't listen. Maybe they didn't want to hear. Maybe they were too busy trying to figure out, "Why are you so cotton picking different?" Amen. But your commission is from him. And just like Jesus, when he said in John chapter 7, "For you, any time to go to Jerusalem is okay, but for me, I will go when I'm pressed." Or, "My time is not just now." And he waited for them to leave. And then he went. But I can tell you that when the church comes alive in unity and in harmony, she will radiate the next level. That's what you're facing. When the fullness of the Father is tabernacling inside of us, we will really celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, because that's what it's all about. That's what this booth represents. We've been living in a part-time booth that's a little bit leaky. It's not perfect. Okay? But we are participating in his bread of life and in his precious living blood. And we're in progress going forward to claim our inheritance on the day appointed for his glory. Verse 15. Verse 15 will probably make you yell. Now, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. So what does that make you? Just like your papa in heaven. That's who you are. You're not made in the image of some created thing. You are in the image of the Creator. 16. For it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and the things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. All things were created and exist through him and by his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things coexist, cohere, are held together. He is also the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone, in everything and in every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first and preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes, should dwell in him permanently. Not part-time and not for a season. So when the body of Christ is fully alive in the Father, every aspect of the Father will be radiating through that body. That's your future. You're debating. Is this worth an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now I want you to just close your eyes. Just very gently close your eyes. And say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
let your plan unfold.
Let your plan unfold.
The pieces that I can't understand.
Pieces that I can't understand.
Or even comprehend within my heart.
Or even comprehend within my heart.
You will confirm it to me.
You will confirm it to me.
In two or three witnesses.
In two or three witnesses.
Until I'm fully established.
Until I'm fully established.
Until I become.
Until I become.
A real tabernacle for him.
A real tabernacle for him.
And your spirit.
And your spirit.
I am a child of the light.
I am a child of the light.
I'm full of light.
I'm full of light.
And when he pulls that trigger.
And when he pulls that trigger.
I will radiate light.
I will radiate light.
And then it'll all be worth it.